The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, welcome to this interview episode. Today on the line I have Travis Gibb. He's one of the creators of The Advocator, which is for all intents and purposes kind of like a book that's meant to showcase other things, like all sorts of different things. It's a concept that I think hasn't been around for, you know, well for a long time, because it's not themed, it's just different indie comics, and it's a pretty great idea. Travis, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing really well, thanks for having me on. I'm doing really well, but yeah, you're kind of right, and it's something that people have done, but not in this way. We've done it a little bit different.
So I'm a big fan of stuff like heavy metal and cheval noir, which was like a lot of reprints of like French comic books into English. Yeah. And I've always been like a big fan of like kind of serialized comic books in like chapters across magazines. Like, you know, what is it that inspired you guys to basically take on this same task?
So I'm a comic creator. So last October I had a comic called Breakdown in Four Dead Bodies funded on Kickstarter. And I was looking at what I can do to kind of fill my table, right? So anybody who does cons, when you have one book, it's really hard to what's called in the industry make table, right? So normal table is between $120 and $250. Well, if I'm selling $5 a book for my one comic, it's going to take an awful lot of books to sell to make that money. And I realized it was a lot of creators who had that problem. And I was tabling with Rob Anderson, who is one of the head teams. It's me, Chuck, and Chuck Pinar, and myself are kind of the heads of the team, and I'm the project manager. And basically what we realized is that there's all these people who are in my same situation, who need something else on their table, and we need to be able to get outside of our area, right? Because I'm going to sell in Florida. I'm going to do a whole bunch of cons in Florida, but who's doing cons in Boston for me, or New York, or Texas? So that's what we did. We set that up by taking their individual titles and put them in this book. So so we grabbed all these successful Kickstarters, put them all together, and put four-page stories in this one little combined book.
That's a really cool idea. You know, I have friends that do a lot of conventions and that sort of thing, and that, you know, they have their one book, and then they try to put together, like, a bunch of art or, like, you know, prints and things like that, you know, to do the same thing, to, like, make that table, right? When you were looking at, you know, this creation and like the overall kind of scope of what you were doing, what were some of the challenges that you faced going into it?
Well, yeah. So the first thing is some of them we addressed right before we started. So, you know, we were smart to think ahead. Some of them we didn't find out till we started. So the first thing first was we wanted to make sure that we had to cut greed out of it, right? So we're asking people to give four pages of their property. We wanted to make sure it was their physical property. So the books that we have in here is Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies, Welcome to the Void, Grimwood Crossing, Binary Star, Mary Revised, and Modern Testament. All of them had successful Kickstarters, so all of them had a brand. So we want to make sure there was a brand, so something that brought a fan base in, so we kind of shared fan base. So we also wanted to make sure that there was no money involved. So let's say one of these guys, let's say you backed my book. I wasn't in charge of sending that to you, because one person could mess it up for everybody else. So we had to hire a third party to send all these things out as well. So we had to print the books, send them all out. So basically when you're pledging on this Kickstarter, all everyone's getting is copies. There's no money changing hands whatsoever.
Right on. So it's cool because it gives everybody a chance to get something out there even more that they know they're successful at. Like that's a really cool way to do it. When you kind of approached all the different writers and artists, like, did you approach, I guess what I'm trying to say is, did you approach people that were like, hard no, I'm not giving you my stuff for free?
There was a couple people, right? Yeah, because everyone's worried that if they put it in this book, like, we're going to own all the rights.
Right.
So we had to really get through the fine written, what are your rights and what do you get? You know, and that's what we ended up doing, is everyone has the right to print it. So they can print this copy themselves without our permission.
Oh, that's
as long as
cool.
it stays exactly as it is, they can print it as many times as they want. We are going to slightly change the color so we know which ones were printed and which ones weren't. But that's it. They can print it as many times as they want. They can't do an alternate cover. They can't take other people's story. But yeah, there was a couple of hard no's, I'll be honest. You know, the couple of big guys that we hit were like, hey, they're like, no, man, like you're not. Because people didn't view it as combining. They viewed it as me trying to take from them or them trying to gain. They didn't see the thing. But the minute we went live on Kickstarter, man, that all changed. We have like 50 or 60 creators like knocking on our door. How can I get into issue two? How can I get into issue three?
Oh, that's cool.
So it quickly changed that perspective because everyone thought – I think they thought we were doing like another wannabe Image Comics. We're going to put all these people under umbrella. No, there's no umbrella. You keep your umbrella. Do your thing. We just want to put out a book together. But instead of just going, this theme is Edgar Allan Poe. Everybody writes about Edgar Allan Poe. No, man. Do your thing. Why do I want you to change your style? Do your thing.
That's cool. That's, you know, the books that I was talking about at the beginning of the interview, that's what I love so much about it.
Yeah.
You know, you pick up like one of those old cheval noirs and you have everything from like a crazy like Mobius story to like softcore porn basically to like just insane stories that make no kind of sense whatsoever. And it was a crapshoot. You know, your yeah. book has like maybe, you know, six stories in it and I'm going to like three of them, but it makes it worth it in the long run, you know, because you're finding three new things that you'd never seen before.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Negative Burns?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Negative Burns. So I was a writer for Negative Burns. So I wrote a short story in it. And just by doing that, I have now written in the same book as Alan Moore, Brian Michael Bendis, Neil Gaiman. I mean, they weren't in my issue, but I mean, I've written with all these great creators. So it's really cool. And that vibe is really good. And we like that vibe, but we really wanted to go tell your story. Let people know about your brand. I want the people who like my crime stuff. I write crime. So Broke Down and Forty Bodies like Quentin Tarantino. So that's funded. I got another one on Kickstarter right now called Dog Days, which is like Crime's Utopia. So if you like crime, you're going to read my stuff. But if you like sci-fi, you may like somebody else's. So we've got everything.
So like by Crime's Utopia, you just mean Zootopia because that was basically a crime film.
but it's a little bit more Sin Cities. The basic plot is, you know, somebody's cutting up and feeding the meats of random animals to other people. So you don't see that in the Zootopia movie.
You don't. I bet it exists in that world. They just didn't talk about it.
No? Right. Well, then somebody has definitely going to kill that sloth at some point. I mean, right. It may not be that, but.
So when you have all these people, they're coming to you and they're talking about, you know, I'd love to be in issue two. I'd love to be in issue three. Like what kind of, you know, looking ahead, what kind of plan do you maybe have going forward? Are you looking at kind of a quarterly thing or a yearly thing? Like kind of where are your ideas with the future?
Yeah, so for right now it's seasonal. So we're doing seasonal. So we're doing one for a season. We've committed to the rest of this year. It's, believe it or not, there's been a couple of obstacles with it. Like it takes a little bit to fund because we found that some of our backers are like, well, I just care about you. So I don't want to buy just four pages of your book, which we understand, you know, from a fan perspective, but we didn't see that. We're just like, our fans will love us all the time. So that's kind of interesting. And then we set up some criteria, right? So your criteria to be in the book is one, you have to have done something successful. It could be, hey, I have a webcomic that I've done for the last 5 years. You know, it can't be some new thing that has no fan base because we want to share fan base. The third thing is you have to commit to go to a con. I don't care which one. You've got to commit to table at a con because our goal is that I want to be able to go, hey, I have this book. Go get it signed by a guy in D12. He was also in this book. You're getting a twofer and allow him the chance to pitch, you know?
That's cool. It's cool that you're thinking through like the problems. There's a lot of people that when they confront an obstacle, they just kind of stop and balk
right.
at it. And you're definitely thinking ahead and thinking through and trying to find ways to continue to push and sell the idea. Like you seem very driven and like you have a lot of projects going on, and that's awesome because there's so many people out there that just, oh, you know, I do this thing. So what kind of motivates you to keep going with so much stuff?
A lot of those people, really. There's some people on my Facebook phase, and if you hear this interview, please stop doing it, who will show me their character that they created, but I've seen that character for 3.5 years, and I've never seen a single page of him doing anything besides another picture of that panel drawn by somebody else. Like, right. Do something, create something. The second thing is, man, I love this community. I think that people need a break. Some people are – myself, I own a marketing company, so marketing is really easy for me. But some people don't have that, but that doesn't mean they're not great creators and can't create amazing things. So this is how I help them do that. Sorry about the background.
That's okay. I don't feel as bad about my dog anymore.
Right. Yeah, my headsets are broken too, so I couldn't even do that today. But yeah, so I want to get people to help them get to the level that they need to be at. And if this is a tool or an avenue to help do that, let's do it. Our goal is to eventually do big names and then put one or two smaller names.
Nice.
You know, going back to what you said, I can't think of that. What were the books you said?
Like Cheval Noir and like heavy metal and stuff like that.
Heavy metal, not a lot of people know this, but Donny Cates didn't come out of nowhere. He came out of Heavy Metal Magazine.
Right.
He was writing for Heavy Metal Magazine, and he is now the biggest comic book writer right now on the Marvel side. Right? Guardians just did that cool Thanos run. He is killing it. These things matter to people, you know, if you get it out there and create it.
You know, it's cool. It's cool to become like a vehicle for like discovery for people. Like, I love learning about new things. Like, my taste in comic books is definitely like a little off of the beaten path. Like, I'm not really a superhero kind of guy.
Sure.
So like, I love picking up books like yours to find something new that I've like never, you know, even anticipated. What was one of the biggest, like, you know, 4 pages that you've got where you're just like, man, that was crazy. I was not expecting that to be like that.
So the story that we like to tell, and that I like to tell, and so one of our guys is Chuck Pino. He did Welcome to the Void. And like many indie guys, he's like, I don't have the money to do new art. But his story is about magic and the reflection of magic, and some things that happen in one world can be viewed by the other world. And it's clear in his story that he came out with that it is. So I suggested, why don't you use pages that you already have and retell it from the other side of what's called the void, so people can look through. So he redid the whole art with all the pages. And what's cool about it is it makes his first issue so much better. It makes it all make sense. And he got to go back in as a first-time creator and fix all his continuity flaws. Huh. He had some continuity flaws that people pointed out to him later that he didn't get before print. He was allowed to go back in and show his craftsmanship as a writer. The other one that I really like is Modern Testament that we have in here is a 4-page story of a modern retelling of Noah. It's not biblical. It's kind of like they're just using the mythical creatures. He told an amazing 4-page story that you don't need anything else to know. And you're like, I'm hooked. I really like that stuff. And that's pretty cool, man, to do 4 pages. Because a real writer, doesn't matter how many pages, they're going to excel in any platform. And we definitely got that.
It's like that idea of like, try to write a scary story in like 6 words, that kind of stuff. Like, it's cool to, if you cut all the fat from a story, you can make a great story with very little writing.
Yeah, I actually used for my story, so the original artist who came on this project left, just went into other things. No problem, but I own the art. So I used those 4 pages to share a flashback story of my two main characters meeting. So I get to reuse that art that would have just died. It would have just sat. It probably would have been thrown on the back of a trade paperback of unused art or original character designs. But now it's a story that fits in my universe, that does its thing and has a purpose.
That's cool. It's cool, too, that it sounds like a lot of the people in the book are using it not just as a, here's 4 pages dropped out of my already successful book so that, you know, I can introduce myself to new people, but they're actually taking the opportunity to make something new and creative that feeds into what's already out there.
Well, that's actually a rule. We want this to be the first 4 pages ever seen print. It could have been digital, so you could have sent it out digitally to your, like, subscribers. You know, some people do email lists and they'll give them, like, a free story a year to do that, but it has to be an original story. The only exception of that is we have one story that's an 8-page that goes between the issue 1 and issue 2 that was printed before, but that was a miscalculation of when ours would come out and where his came out. Because we had pushed this out to January. We wanted to come out in October, but a couple people needed some stuff to get finished.
Nice. So you know, right now you guys are currently working on funding on Kickstarter, correct?
So it's we need $1,000 more before we get funded. It's a little less than that. We're at 2,700. We need to get 2,700. We're at 1,768.
Oh, so like under 1,000, yeah.
You're yeah, right just close. A little under. And what's cool about it is for some of these people, they've never seen 100 backers, right? Because they did their comic, they funded, and they looked really good, but they only got like 34 backers because it was just really their friends and family. Well, now there's 100 backers now that know about their project, know about their stuff.
When you're, you know, when you're looking at this Kickstarter, you have the 100 backers and, you know, all these people, they get the exposure, you know, maybe even if the Kickstarter doesn't, you know, make it through, which I'm guessing it probably will. You have quite a while still. You know, what are some of the pluses and minuses that the other artists involved in the project have like kind of reflected to you as you're going through the process?
The biggest problem is you have people who aren't, you know, promoting it as much. That's going to happen, you know, because there's always that guy who's promoting it every day. And there's the guy who's promoting it once a week. There's a guy who are really passionate about his stuff. And that's just the biggest problem is just getting stuff. People are at different levels and you got to understand that. And that's a good thing that we've decided to do. Again, an obstacle that we objected. We had Rob Anderson run it. And even though he has no pages in the book, right, he letters one book, but he has no pages in it. The next one I'm going to helm and I'm going to be the big pusher. I'm going to announce it every day. I'm going to be the big pusher. We want someone outside of the project pushing it. So that's going to be the focus. So the individual creators, and that's the person who kind of messages them and nudges them in the right way to get that. The other thing that we've seen is we did like a backer rewards, like where you could get your own cover. And that's been a little friendly competition. Some covers are doing really well. Some aren't. The third problem is a lot of us are busy creators, right? Because we're getting people who are busy doing stuff. Well, I have a Kickstarter live right now. One of our other guys has a Kickstarter live right now. The other one has a Kickstarter live literally the minute it ends. So all of us are gearing and doing our next thing. And this was kind of a side project. So getting that. So that's going to be an obstacle in the future, trying to figure out, hey, does anybody got something going on this round time?
So that we're all not stepping on each other's feet and that kind of stuff.
Correct. It does help a little bit to share, you know, to go, hey, I'm doing this and hey, back me here. It does help. But when you're thinking about pocketbooks, you know, if someone, let's say they're only bidding for me, well, they're going to pay for the bigger project that has more pages by me because they're backing for me, right, if money's an option, right? And I don't want that. I want them to buy all my stuff. You know, the old saying is if you can get 1,000 people who follow and buy all your work, you can become an artist. That's all you got to do is find 1,000 fans.
Nice. So I'm about 900 short. No, just kidding.
There you go. But that's what they say. That the old adage is if you can get 1,000 people to be your fan who will buy things as you put them out, you can make a living off of
it. Yeah, that's cool.
I'll be your fan. So now you only have 899.
Nice. I don't think we ever try to sell anything. That's probably our problem.
Right. That is also going to hurt you in the long run.
So talking about your other projects, I'd love for you to have a chance, you know, kind of towards the end here. What's your other Kickstarter and some other things that you have in the pipeline?
I've got tons of things in the pipeline, but so the thing I'm famous for and what's in the Advocator is called Breakdown of Four Dead Bodies. Issue 2 comes out in March. March-ish is when we're looking at. So that's a crime noir, two guys break down on the side of the road, lots of F-words, lots of violence, lots of guns, lots of fun. If you want the first issue, you can go to BrokedownAndForDeadBodies.com. Right now I have Dog Days. That's going live. Dog Days is, like we said, a Zootopia crime fiction. That's an original graphic novel. That's actually because of Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies. Someone read that and said, hey, we have an opportunity for you to write this. Someone backed out of a project. He just got too busy. Can you finish it? So some guy wrote 18 pages of this crime Zootopia thing. I wrote the other 96.
Nice.
And drastically changed the story. but that's what that is. That's live. We need about 2,000 to get that funded in the next 10 days as well. It's a crazy 10 days for me. I need to raise $3,000. But it's fun, man. Like that's what's going on. I've got Nerd Nation Radio coming out and some other small projects here and there. But Yeah, I'm a busy man. I didn't mean
it. Sounds like it, man. I feel your pain. I have, you know, two podcasts and four kids and, you know, eight to 900 pets. I lost count. So, you know,
I have a baby coming in April. So like I'm doing all my stuff now and then at the end of the year. So I'm like doing a double like crazy instead of spreading it out like I normally would. Well, and also I have four kids, but when the other one comes in, it'll be five.
Oh, man.
So I feel you. Oof. I'm with you.
I cut it off at four. I was like, no more. So let us know. How can people find The Advocator on Kickstarter and Facebook and all the different socials?
Yeah, so The Advocator, it's only on Kickstarter. It does have a Facebook group called The Advocator. There's two different Facebooks. There's regular Advocator and then the Advocator Winter Edition. If you want just this edition, each room will have their own thing. Just search The Advocator, and if you're in any comic group, I promise you we'll share it. Just give us a minute. Dog Days is also there. But yeah, follow the creatives. So we've got Welcome to the Void. Welcome to the Void is Chuck Pino. That's kind of your sci-fi fantasy, you know, real-world magic. If you like Magic the Gathering, not Magic the Gathering, Meiji Ascension, the old White Wolf game.
Oh, okay,
kind of like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
The overpowered one? Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, exactly. The one that was really ridiculous until Demon the Fallen came out. Yeah, right. That's the one. Grimwood Crossing. That is a zombie cowboy book. Really, really good. Binary Star, which is sci-fi bounty hunters. We got Broke Down in Four Dead Bodies. It was mine, Quentin Tarantino crime, which talking about White Wolf, the guy who did the art of that did stuff for Exalted.
Oh, nice.
So I want to turn it all over. And then we've got Modern Testament, which is a modern retaking of biblical icons. And Mary Revised, which is a retelling of a lady who comes back from the dead who doesn't like what was being told about her when she passed.
Nice.
So that is that rounds it up. But yeah, it's a cool little one shot. It's a lot of people have been calling it the most expensive $5 you'll ever spend, because once you buy that, you're going to want to get the rest. You're going to want to buy these first issues. You're going to want to collect it. You're going to get some new books that you want to create.
That's awesome. I am a big fan of buying one thing that makes me buy other things. My wife, on the other hand, not such a big fan of it.
Right. Well, I mean, you clearly buy everything in bulk with the four children.
Oh, yeah. Just food and stuff. My comics I'm really picky about.
Well, what do you read?
Well, so mostly I read a lot of the kind of offbeat stuff. Right now my main jam is Murder Falcon.
Okay, love it.
I'm a big fan of like East of West and Saga. Yep. I'm also I'm a Conan junkie. Like I own the full Marvel run. I'm piecing together the rest of the weird 90s Marvel books.
Right.
I have all but like as of yesterday I have all but like three of the Dark Horse issues. Okay. And they're all like variant cover things. I picked up a bunch of that. I mean, I'm a Conan nut. So
that Jason Aaron first issue must have blown you away, because that was a good book.
I was stoked. Like I was ready for it to be bad, but was going to buy it anyways, just because it's Conan and I have to at this point.
Right. Sure.
But man, it was good. And like they teased that he's gonna die, and I'm like, oh, this is a lot. So
yeah, and he's in some issue of Avengers coming up too.
Yeah, the Avengers No Way
Home. No Surrender sequel, whatever it's called.
I think it's called
End of the Road, I think. Avengers End of the Road, I think. I don't know.
You might be right. It's literally the only Marvel book I've pulled in quite some time. So, but yeah, John, one of the co-hosts, he owns a comic book shop up here in Colorado, and I told him if it has Conan on the title, just put it in, because
we're in Colorado.
He's in Parker, Colorado at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles. Free advertising.
My book Broke Down in Four Dead Bodies takes place in Canyon City.
Oh, right on. I know people there.
I do not, but my wife does. Yeah. The whole book takes place in Canyon City. And I've got the big archway in issue two.
Nice.
So everyone's stuff. Yeah. It takes place in Canyon City and in Denver. It goes back and forth.
There are a metric fuck ton of prisons in Canyon City. So
that is why we chose that area.
Nice. Well, Travis, man, it was great talking to you. And, yeah.
Well, hold on. I got to recommend something. Now you said, have you checked out Die yet?
Die? I have not. That is a book I am very excited to read, but missed the first issue, so I'm kind of waiting for the whole trade thing to happen. If I miss a book and don't like get the first like run of it, I just wait for it to come out and trade. Like Seven to Eternity. Wish I had that all in single issue, but I just have the trades now, and all that really matters to me is that it's amazing. So
Die is on one of the best books I've read in years. Nice. Like it was amazing. So highly recommend it. But yes, go.
Well, thank you very much, Travis. I really appreciate your time. We'll be sure to link to the Kickstarter. But thanks again for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having us. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.